This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
You just look at me like...
I just looked at her to see if she was doing anything. And she moved to the microphone and gave that little, hi. Too funny. All right, so this is the show that you've all been waiting for. You've been on the edge of your seats for the last 2 weeks. Part three of adrenal fatigue, and we're going to talk about how to overcome adrenal fatigue.
Finally.
Yay!
Woohoo!
So, if you're just tuning in and you missed the previous two shows, I highly suggest you go back and listen to them. There is just massive amounts of information in there. We talked about studies. We talked about, what all else did we talk about? We talked about what adrenal fatigue is.
Right. The symptoms that go along with adrenal fatigue.
Yeah. The symptoms of it. We talked about other things that could be. We talked about
other conditions that are tied to adrenal fatigue.
Yes. And how some naysayers out there say that adrenal fatigue doesn't exist, but yet there's got to be some sort of common ground between perfectly healthy functioning adrenal glands and diseased adrenal glands. And that's basically where adrenal fatigue lives. So, moving right along. So, jumping in today, we're going to talk about some steps to overcome adrenal fatigue. We're going to talk about three of them. The first one is to follow the adrenal fatigue diet, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that entails and what that means. We're going to talk about taking adrenal fatigue supplements and herbs. We're going to talk about what those things are and how they help how they work together and things like that. And then we're going to talk about how to reduce adrenal fatigue stress. What are key things that you can do to help decrease that stress load? So back to numero uno here, follow the adrenal fatigue diet. So what is that made up of? You know, we've heard a lot about people and, you know, diets and all these different things. Everybody has a diet for this, a diet for that, a diet for something else. Well, adrenal fatigue has a diet too, but if you've listened to the show, this diet is not that far from other diets and other ways that we've talked about eating on the show for other conditions.
Right, exactly. We're basically talking about the things that you should be eating for just, you know, to be healthy in general, and that's in turn going to help your adrenals, because like we always say, the body is all connected. So it, you know, you help one area of the body, you're going to help the others if you're eating healthy foods.
It's almost magic.
Right, it is. It's complete magic.
That if you eat healthy, you become healthy.
Yep.
If you eat crap, you feel like crap.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, it's not always that simple. I mean, there are other things that go into it
true.
But it does make a huge difference, which is why we're talking about this first above all else.
And those of you out there, a lot of this number one here is going to be so much common sense that you're just going to be like, yeah, I know. I've heard this before. But I think that you need to hear it again.
Yep. So let's go over it.
All right. So, big things to avoid.
Right. Well, these are things that tax your adrenals.
Yes.
That we know are taxing your adrenals. So get them out of your diet.
Exactly. First one on the list is caffeine. When you have to wake up in the morning and have caffeine to get yourself going, you've got an issue. Look into it. Try to figure out a way to get off that. It's very difficult to stop using caffeine. It's very addictive. I completely understand that. But if you're wanting your adrenal glands to recover, you're going to have to ease up on the caffeine and eventually get off of that stuff.
Right. And a couple of things that I want to say here. First of all, it's one thing to enjoy a cup of coffee, you know, every few mornings.
Tastes delicious.
Right. Exactly. And we don't disagree with that. It is yet another to not be able to function until you have your cup of coffee. That's what we're talking about here.
Or pot of coffee.
Right. Or more.
It's usually a pot of coffee.
I mean, it usually increases as time goes on. I mean, that's generally what we see. But I mean, let's try to stop it at a cup. And, you know, if you're at that point, you need to.
Let's talk in terms of ounces, you know, 6 to 8 ounces, because some people will just get an enormous cup.
That's me.
Right.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
I have heard that if you drink ice water in the morning, it wakes you up more than caffeine or coffee. Is that true?
That's something that a lot of people have thrown out there. I don't know. I don't wake up and drink ice water in the morning, so I don't know personally.
If it works, more power to you.
Exactly.
I know that I've heard that talked about before, too, and to people who are addicted to caffeine or really reliant, they're like, no, it's not the same.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean,
but most people are dehydrated. And so just getting a little bit of added hydration in the morning is going to be a boost to the system.
Right. And I think that's a great thing, you know, to bring up is try something like that, because that, I mean, there are other ways to get that boost in the morning that may help you other than the caffeine. Right. And another thing is,
well, I just want to let for the listeners that may be their first time, that third voice that you heard, that's our lovely producer, Liz.
Hi.
She pops on in here from time to time and we'll ask a question. It was a very good question. So anyway, go ahead, Aaron.
No, well, the other thing is, I mean, telling someone who has adrenal fatigue to quit drinking caffeine is, I mean, it's like telling them to quit, you know, putting their foot on the gas and then just still go. Because, I mean, it's that difficult. And so if it is that hard for you to get off of the caffeine, that is one of the, and we'll talk about later, but that is one of the times when, okay, you need to come in and see a practitioner who can help you with that, because there are things that we can do to help lessen the cravings and make that transition easier on you than just cutting it out. If you're able to cut it out, then, you know, it's, of course, best to do it on your own. You don't need us to... I know that there are a lot of...
You don't have to pay me to tell you, stop drinking caffeine. I'm doing that right now for
free.
Right,
we're giving that to you for free. I mean, I know that there are a lot of wellness
practitioners... It's added value right there.
Right, out there who you go in and they tell you, you know, like, well, quit eating this and quit eating this and start eating this. And it's, I mean, I don't know. Most of us don't... We already know those things. I mean, if you're relying completely on caffeine... You know probably that you're not supposed to be drinking that much coffee or that much soda or whatever it is. That's not what you're going to get if you come into our clinic. We're not going to say, you know, hey, do this. Now you're off on your own. I mean, we'll actually help you. And there are things that we can do there that will make that easier so that you can transition and lower, you know, and get off the caffeine over time.
Right. Another big one is sugar and sweeteners. All forms, artificial and awful. We'll just call it that. So we all know sugar is not really good for us at all. Things like high fructose corn syrup, sweet and low, the pink stuff, the blue stuff, the green stuff, the red stuff, the orange stuff. It's all bad for you. Cause every sweetener has its color. It just
lost me somewhere in there, but, yes,
the people out there that use the pink stuff and the blue stuff know what I'm talking about.
I do know those.
Yeah,
I know those
exactly.
Ones. But,
well, there's the yellow stuff and the green stuff too.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people, you know, are addicted to these, you know, the diet. I mean, they're addicted to, especially, I mean, while sugar is bad, it's the artificial sweeteners that will really get you also.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like high fructose corn syrup. And it's funny, consumers are driving this change in high fructose corn syrup. You're seeing even soda manufacturers create some products that don't have high fructose corn syrup in them. You see, like, ketchup, it's not the healthiest food on the planet. However, you can go to the store, and for the most part, you can find a brand or two that has ketchup that they made without high fructose corn syrup. So consumers are driving this. If we would just change more of how we eat and what we purchase, the food industry will follow. They're going to provide us what we pay for.
Right.
And question about sweeteners.
Yes.
What about stevia?
Stevia is actually on the list to talk about. Stevia is fine.
I'm sorry I jumped ahead.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's me that gets off the rails most of the time. So stevia is okay. I like stevia. Some people, it's a great sweetener. People use it liberally. People use it conservatively. I'm a fan of it. Some people don't like the way it tastes. They think it tastes funny. Try the liquids. There are some liquid stevias out there that don't really have as much of a funky flavor. Some stevias are in powder. And those, for me and my taste buds, the powdered ones taste a little funkier than the liquid ones. That's just my opinion. But stevia is a great alternative to sugar, for sure.
Right. But again, I think it also goes back to if you are really needing those sweeteners, and there are some things, I mean, you know, that people are just used to putting some sweetener in, and some sweetener is fine. You know, I mean, and using stevia is better than others. But it's important, too, to look at, okay, am I craving these sweets? Because if you are, right. then that, again, yeah, you know, is part
just,
of this.
If you're just putting a little stevia in a tea at a restaurant because it's super bitter, completely different than dumping a, you know, pound of sugar in and having your sweet tea.
Right. And but I mean, as you know, the adrenal fatigue, as that gets better, you'll realize, you know, that you aren't needing nearly as much. And so that will make, I mean, you know, stevia is then good as, you know, a sweetener to add in when you need it.
Right. So another one to cut out is carbohydrates or reduce. I mean, not all carbs are bad. There are good and bad carbohydrates. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize this, that, you know, all food, no matter what it is, basically falls in one of three categories. It is a meat or a protein. It is a fat, which is typically a fat on the meat. Occasionally, there's some plant fats out there for sure, like, you know, olive oil. But everything else pretty much is a carbohydrate. So yeah. Fruit's a carbohydrate. Broccoli's a carbohydrate. Pretty much all your vegetables are carbohydrates. And a lot of people don't realize that if you're, you know, a smoothie is healthy, but having a smoothie that's a 24-ounce smoothie is really all you're doing is drinking a bunch of sugar. If you're going to make a smoothie, I'm a fan of that, but put what you would eat on a plate and then smoothie that, you're going to get a couple of ounces of liquid as opposed to like a 24-ounce glass.
Right.
So you got to be careful with how you're getting your carbohydrates too, and even the vegetables and fruits and things that are usually healthy for you, you got to be careful in how much of it you're consuming.
Right, exactly. And this is especially important for those of us who grew up in during the low-fat craze.
Oh,
it
yeah.
seems so counterintuitive, right? Because you're trying to avoid the fat if you don't, you know, thinking, okay, if I eat too much fat, I'll get fat. But it's not. It's the carbohydrates.
Right. So we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue. We got a few more foods to avoid, and then we're going to talk about some things that you should be eating, and then we'll move on to some supplements and herbs that may be beneficial. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Is Wellness 101.
And welcome back. Part 3 of adrenal
yes.
fatigue. It's glorious. So this is the meat and potatoes of adrenal fatigue. We've been talking about, if you missed the first two episodes, go back, listen to them, and then make sure to check this one out too.
We'll have them on our website, and then they're also available on iTunes.
iTunes, yeah, it'll be a little bit as we get them up on iTunes. I'm a little slow, and I apologize to all of our big fans out there that send us emails
saying
screaming,
it's not up there
we
yet.
We don't have it on iTunes yet, and I'm sorry.
And then I say, TJ, you've not posted them yet.
Yes,
get them up there.
I try to help as many people as I can. So we've been the first segment there. We were talking about things. We're talking about diet and especially things to avoid. We listed off, try to limit caffeine and eliminate caffeine. Get off the sugar and sweeteners and artificial sweeteners, and be careful with carbohydrates. Processed and microwave foods. We all know we should not be processing foods. We should not be microwaving our food. Microwave does damage to the food. And processed foods are basically devoid of nutrients unless they're put back in and fortified with nutrients.
Right. And they've also, I mean, when they're processed, I mean, that's going to be harder on your system to digest, and that it adds stress to your body. And that's what we're talking about. These are things that tax your adrenals, and your body does not recognize a lot of these highly processed foods.
Right.
And so it's that much more, you know, physical stress you're putting on your body that is taxing your adrenals, which is what we want to avoid.
Right. And I've said it on here before, and I'm sure I will say it again. It's very ironic and at the same time scary that we have a health food section in a grocery store. Makes me constantly wonder what all the other stuff is.
Right.
that's it. So, you know, when you go grocery shopping, if you're uncertain, stick to the meat section and the produce section, and you're going to be okay.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, and I don't want to get too far into this. I know I'm kind of going off, but what I think is really scary is you go to the health food section and not all of it is healthy. Yeah. I mean, and so that's where I'm like, yeah. No wonder people are confused because I'll look at these things and I'm like, okay, you know, you took the gluten out of it, but
you added 7 pounds of sugar.
Right. I mean, that's not good. So no one would consider that healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Another one is processed meats. Processed meats contain lots and lots of things that we shouldn't have. They're full of nitrites, nitrates, preservatives, things like this that just aren't good for a person. Stick to, you know, meat that's recognizable.
Right. Grass-fed beef, free-range chicken or
wild-caught fish.
Yes. Because we're definitely not saying don't eat meat. I mean, at all. And I'm
a meatitarian.
You don't just eat meat. It's not true.
I eat a lot of it.
Right. But it's definitely not all that you eat. We're not even saying, you know, with processed meats, a lot of people think lunch meat. There are healthy lunch meats out there. I mean, they're available. They're probably in your normal grocery store. I know that I see them all the time. So just make sure that you're looking that they're antibiotic free, you know, grass fed or free range will make a big difference.
Yeah. Exactly. What she said.
I don't get that very often.
No.
That's nice.
So lastly, I want to point out hydrogenated oils. These things are horrible for a human being. Soybean oil, canola oil, corn oil. We are not meant to consume these things.
And it's confusing because they're called vegetable oils. So people think, oh, vegetables, like these are the healthy oils. No, definitely not.
These are seed oils. Bad, bad, bad.
Yes.
Stay away from them. Instead, use things like coconut oil, olive oil, organic butter. I'm fine with that. Ghee. I love ghee.
I know.
It's my favorite. It's just delicious.
So it's meat and ghee.
It's meat and ghee. Yes.
It's a healthy diet.
It is. It's. I have plenty of fat in my diet. And plenty of protein. All right. So things to eat. Make sure we're, you know, like we just said, the superfoods. If something's been deemed like a superfood, it's likely something that you're going to want to be eating.
I just want to throw out a caveat there.
Okay.
We are going to go through these, but this is why, and I know, you know, both of us, and we talk about this before, you know, kind of when we're planning the show, that it makes us a little nervous to be throwing these things out there because you could be highly sensitive to one of these foods. So while we're giving you these...
For instance, I'm not supposed to have avocados.
Yeah, which may actually
make
be
my,
on the list.
They make my face swell up.
Right. Yeah.
It's glorious.
But there are a lot of times these food sensitivities cause issues that you may not know are even happening.
Right.
I mean, like... Eggs are one of the sensitivities. I mean, I'm highly sensitive to eggs, which is really sad because I would literally eat eggs for every meal if I could. And I don't know what they're doing to me. Like it's, you know, it's an immune response. I don't, you know, it's easier when you can say, okay, well, it makes me tired or it, you know, makes my skin break out.
Or it gives me digestive upset.
Right.
You know,
I mean.
Stomach ache, something like that. But that's not the stuff that we're talking about. We're talking about all these other things that you end up with that lead to chronic disease.
Yes.
That are associated with the foods that you're eating, making your immune system mad.
Right. So we are giving you this list with the caveat that if you have not had food sensitivity testing, you may be eating more of this stuff and making yourself worse because you don't know what you're sensitive to.
Yes.
So this is just an overall list for people who either have had food sensitivity testing or, you know, just are not sensitive to anything.
This is why blanket statements are not the best for everyone. We can't just say, oh, do this and this is, quote, healthy, because it's not necessarily healthy for everyone.
Right. Everyone is unique.
So foods that are... more healthy are things like coconuts, coconut oil, olives, olive oil, et cetera, avocados, cruciferous vegetables, things like cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. There are instances where people shouldn't be eating cruciferous vegetables. That's for another show, but these things can be goitrogens, which create problems for people with certain kinds of thyroid issues. Wild-caught salmon, fatty types of fish like that. Free-range chickens and turkeys. Bone broth is another wonderful thing. Nuts, walnuts, things like that, seeds.
Almonds, I mean, but again, yeah, almonds are seeds. Another thing that
yeah, I can't have those.
Well, and we see a lot of people who have, you know, sensitivities, and there are a lot of actually these things on the list that are, you know, fairly common sensitivities. So
right, pumpkin seeds, chia, flax seeds. A lot of people are sensitive to flax.
And I'm allergic to chia seeds, which was devastating because I was eating a lot of chia seeds.
Pounds.
Yeah, it was. Pounds. They're very filling. If you have not tried chia seeds and you're not sensitive to them, they're very filling. So it's a good way to fill yourself up.
And, yeah, it is. Yeah. They work. Fermented foods, sauerkraut, kombucha. A lot of people like that. I personally can't stand the taste of that sort of stuff.
I love it.
That she does. And I cannot.
And I didn't try it for a long time because every time I'd bring it up, he'd say, no, don't. No, it's disgusting.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
but she loves it. Yeah. And I encourage my patients, if they like the taste, by all means, knock yourself out. I can't get past the smell. Sorry, that's just me.
Yeah.
I will definitely say that transitioning from like drinking soda all the time to doing that was a lot easier because you still kind of have like
the
fizziness.
Right. Yeah. No.
So it's not like going straight cold turkey off soda.
Yeah.
And sometimes that helps. That helped me.
Right.
Well, there you go.
I agree. I agree. And it's something where like it's kind of like a treat. You're not just having water. So it's something that has some flavor to it. But. Yeah.
A flavor that TJ doesn't like, but you might. So.
Right. And it's good for you. Did you mention Celtic and Himalayan sea salt?
Oh, yeah. Celtic and Himalayan sea salt. That's a big one. Table salt, the iodized table salt, is really not healthy for us. Our body really doesn't do very well with sodium chloride. We need all 84 minerals all present. That can be found in Celtic or Himalayan sea salt.
Right. We've done. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I use both. I prefer Himalayan. Celtic is a little less salty flavored if you've never had it. It's the gray stuff. It's usually a little moist. The Himalayan salt is pink.
And yeah, you see it kind of everywhere right now. It seems like it's really gained popularity.
And pay attention if you go in and you just are like, okay, I need to buy some sea salt. Just because the sea salt, the label says sea salt, turn it around and look at the ingredients, because someone brought to my attention at the clinic, they went and bought sea salt. I looked at it, I was like, oh, I've never seen this one before. I flipped it over and the back on the label, it said 99% sodium chloride.
Right. A lot of them you see out there, if they don't say Celtic, you know, sea salt or Himalayan sea salt, a lot of times they are, you know, they're not nearly as healthy. But a lot of people think salt is something that they should avoid. We've been told that you should be avoiding table salt. But
yes.
I mean, Himalayan and Celtic sea salt they actually have a lot of minerals that are very beneficial and can really help your adrenals.
Right. And most people are extremely deficient in minerals. Minerals are so hard to absorb. It's one of the hardest things to actually get into the system. And so we've got to do everything that we can to get minerals. I mean, we as a country, we are so magnesium deficient, just magnesium. Don't even get me into things like molybdenum and things like that. I mean, we are just... deficient.
I don't know why that word made me laugh.
Manganese.
Because all I could think was, that's gibberish.
Yeah. That's not a real word. Yeah. But I mean, you even suggest sometimes for people to take like Himalayan or Celtic sea salt and put some under their tongue or to, you know, add some to your water to add more salt.
Yeah.
And that seems so counterintuitive to people who have been told eat less salt. But I mean, the salt in processed foods.
That means when they tell you eat less salt, they're talking about eat less table salt, because the human body can't really do anything with sodium chloride. All it does is attract water into your blood, increases your blood volume, and drives up blood pressure.
Yes.
That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. It's not rocket science. It's that simple.
Right.
It draws water, increases blood volume, blood pressure goes up. You increase the volume in a closed system, you increase pressure. Anybody who's worked on a vehicle knows this. This is hydraulics 101. It's very, very simple. And so that doesn't happen when you consume salt that has all 84 minerals in the exact ratio that they're supposed to have in nature, which is almost the exact same ratio that you have in the human body. That's why Celtic sea salt, Himalayan sea salt are way, way healthier choices to have.
And let's face it, food just tastes better if it has some salt. A lot of
it does. I
mean,
it.
So, you know, it's really hard to convince people to quit eating salt altogether.
Right.
And you don't need to, because it can be beneficial.
It can be beneficial, and it's delicious.
Yes.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about supplements and herbs that can help adrenal fatigue. You're listening to Wellness 101. Your demons come to light, and your mind is not your own.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you.
This is Wellness 101.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a pretty good show so far. We're talking about adrenal fatigue. We're finally on show three of adrenal fatigue. So if you missed the first two episodes, go and check those out. iTunes, SoundCloud, visit our website. They're there. And iTunes, I hope it's there. I'm like we talked about earlier, I'm the world's worst. I try to get them up there, but sometimes I'm a little slow, so I apologize. But we've been talking today about adrenal fatigue, things to eat, foods to avoid, things to make sure that you're consuming. And we're going to move into supplements and herbs that can be beneficial for people dealing with adrenal fatigue. So making sure we're taking the right supplements makes a big difference. I will preface this with where these things come from make a big difference. A lot of people say, well, supplements don't matter. They're not regulated, et cetera, et cetera. That's not entirely true. The vast majority of supplements, that is correct. If you're going into a store and buying them off a shelf, they may not be regulated by any sort of regulatory agency. However, if you're using high quality supplements, I can guarantee you that the FDA is inspecting, testing, looking at some of these because I know some of the manufacturers and the FDA walks in and looks at their labels and tests the products and makes sure that the potency is where it is. That's just part of it. So make sure you're sourcing them from a good place. So not all supplements are created equal, just like everything else. You kind of get what you pay for. So with that in mind.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, start to say, you know, start to think, oh, well, supplements don't make a difference because a lot of the ones on the shelf are, you know, so full of fillers and things that they aren't actually making a difference.
We see the stories where you know, people go in and they're running a study. And so they pull a sample off of the shelves at a store and they run the tests on them and they figure out, well, there's actually nothing in there.
Well, right.
Yeah, that can happen. Because there's for a big chunk of it, there's nobody overseeing that and running an oversight on that.
Right. And you know, we usually have people take specific supplements.
Very particular.
Yeah, very particular about it. And it's amazing how many, you know, people will say, well, I'm already taking that. Or they'll say, I can get it much cheaper, you know, at Sam's or something. But once they try what, you know, they've been put on through our office, it's amazing the difference that it makes.
Right. It actually works.
Right. Yeah. It's actually getting into their system and doing what it's supposed to do.
So there's a lot of herbs, spices, essential oils are out there. They're big that can help. Some of the big ones out there that people talk about, and I understand, are adaptogenic herbs. These are things like ashwagandha, rhodiola, Shishandra and holy basil. Those are big ones out there that a lot of people use. I have my favorites. I'll tell you right now, my favorite of this, how many did I list there? Four.
Yeah.
My favorite is rhodiola. That's my favorite. Some people love ashwagandha. I get it. Rhodiola is just the one I choose. So there's a lot of research out there basically says that these adaptogenic herbs can lower cortisol. Well, here's where it gets dicey. Sometimes cortisol being high isn't the problem, especially if you're looking at testing. You have to know what's being tested. You can test and one part of cortisol can be really high and the actual meat and potatoes and what you care about for cortisol is actually in the tank. And so if you start taking a product that lowers cortisol, you could be doing yourself a disservice. That's why it's very important to be somewhere having someone help you that knows what in the world they're doing. I don't know how many times I've actually had people come in and they're on a pile of herbals and supplements and they're like, I'm just beat. I am not feeling any better. I'm trying everything. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't we just stop all this? Because I think that you don't have the right information. And then all of a sudden they start feeling better when we get them, when we find out the right information and we get them moving in the direction that they need to be moving in. So it makes a big difference. But another one out there is licorice root. I'm a big fan of licorice root, deglycerinated licorice root, or DGL. That's a big one. Got to be careful with herbs. I want to say this. You got to be careful if you're pregnant or nursing. Don't be taking herbs. Do not do it. There's not enough research that says that herbs are safe in any kind of pregnancy at all.
Right. Well, and a couple of other things.
Go ahead. I'm done.
You know, I know that licorice root, don't take it for more than 4 weeks at a time. And that's true with a lot of herbs. And a lot of times, you know, that's written very smally, you know, very tiny on the...
Smally, new word.
You knew what I meant. Thanks for calling me out on that.
Yep, I will every time.
But it is written, you know, on the bottle. It's there, but you don't necessarily read all of the bottle. So people will end up, you know, taking it and they come in and they've been on it for a year or something. And it's not supposed to be taken that long. And there are also a lot of herb interactions. So, I mean,
there are piles of herb interactions. These things are documented. They're easy to find. If you can't find them, come see us.
Yeah. I'll
show you.
Right. You need someone to kind of walk you through these things because they can interact.
Herb interactions.
Yes, exactly.
If you're on medications, big red flag. Be careful.
Yeah, be really careful with herbs because they can cause a lot of problems.
Right. Things like licorice root. Licorice will increase blood pressure. So, dun, 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 if you have high blood pressure, be very careful. Fish oil. I'm not the biggest fan of fish oil. I know that it's beneficial, but I'm just not the biggest fan. This isn't really the platform for me to talk about why I'm not a big fan. But it's still a good thing to consume if you're just out there trying to be a little bit healthier. But it's not always the best course of action. Magnesium is another one. Magnesium is a very, very wonderful thing. I just said, I think, was it before the break or just after the break? I've gone a little foggy in my brain as well. About magnesium and how we're deficient basically as a country in magnesium, and we need a lot of it. Magnesium works very well with calcium and vitamin D for bone health. Getting enough magnesium really, really matters, not to mention how much it helps our adrenal glands. We don't really understand all the mechanisms. We just know that when people are getting adequate levels of magnesium, things get better. B-complex vitamins. I'm a huge fan of B-complex vitamins, especially vitamin B12. For those of you who out there who do not know, my dissertation for my PhD was actually on vitamin B12. And so I learned about all there was to know about B12. And that's a big one that is extremely important for our adrenal cortex.
And so many people are deficient.
Oh my gosh.
It's
and the
so
test,
common.
The test is horrible. The test for B12 is horrible. It's reading both active and inactive forms of B12. So if your B12 level is 1,000, 80% of that can be inactive. So you may really only have an active B12 level of about 200.
Right.
So, and that's deficient,
and
just so you know.
Once again, that's why it's really important to go to someone who knows what they're doing.
You got to know what you're doing out there. And a lot of people just don't know. They just haven't been taught or haven't been trained or haven't read. Another one, vitamin C. It's one of my favorites. I love vitamin C. It's a very, very important nutrient. Humans don't make it. We're one of a handful of species of mammals on the planet. We lack an enzyme to be able to make it. So we have to get vitamin C in our diet every single day. And for those of you who think, oh, I have plenty of vitamin C, think about the last time you actually ate an orange and got yourself the minimum requirement of vitamin C in a day, which is 100 milligrams. That's an orange. When was the last time you actually ate an orange to get that minimum requirement? My guess is a long time ago. And that's just to prevent scurvy. That's not actually to talk about optimal health. This is just to prevent scurvy. So we've got a big discrepancy in how much vitamin C people have. And I see it every day in my clinic. We start loading people with vitamin C, and it's amazing the positive changes that happen in someone's health. Extremely important for adrenal function. Vitamin D is another one that's huge. You got to make sure your vitamin D is optimal. There are levels that vitamin D need to be within. You don't want it too low. You also don't want it too high. It's a very difficult vitamin to absorb. It's got to be in the right form. So enough about vitamin D. Selenium. Selenium is extremely important. Selenium is extremely important for thyroid health, not to mention adrenal function. A lot of people don't have enough selenium. Lavender oil, for those of you essential oils fans out there, lavender oil, rosemary oil, those are good things that help to lower stress level. And again, with all that being said, you may think you have high cortisol levels and you've ran the wrong test and it's not actually high cortisol levels. It could be low. And that's problematic if you start lowering already low cortisol.
Right. Or if you just think you have these symptoms and you haven't been tested at all.
Right. So. All right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about step three, which is reducing adrenal fatigue stress. We're going to talk about some things that you can do, some other things that you can do outside of diet and supplements to help your adrenal glands. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a really good show on adrenal fatigue. Part three of adrenal fatigue. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully that, you know, says to all of you how important this is.
Extremely important.
Yeah.
In fact, it's so important that we will likely have a part four. This will be our first part four.
Right. We still
series.
Just have so much important information to get to, though.
There's tons and tons of things. So if you're just listening, go check out the beginning of the show. If you're just tuning in, go check out the beginning of the show on iTunes or SoundCloud. Go to our website. You'll find it there. So before the break, we were talking about nutrients that can be beneficial. We listed off some things like magnesium and B-complex vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin D and selenium, as well as essential oils, lavender oil and rosemary oil. But we also, you know, these are things too that can help to lower cortisol levels. If your cortisol level is high because you're, you know, super stressed. But there's the caveat to that is sometimes it's not high cortisol levels that are the problem. It's the low ones. And so if you ran a test, when we talked about testing, and we'll probably get to testing next week and really get into testing.
Right. How to test for this and how we figure it out.
Yeah. How it needs to be figured out. Some tests, they look at the wrong part of cortisol, the free versus the bound. So I'm not going to get into all that, but one can be high and the other one can be low. And so you may actually be thinking that you have high cortisol levels when in fact they're low. And if you start lowering cortisol with that, then you can end up with a big problem. So that's, we care. All right. So part three of this, or step three rather, reduce adrenal fatigue stress. This is a big one. These are things that you can do at home. Rest as much as you possibly can when you feel tired. That's a big one. That's something that people just kind of blow through and they don't even think about. They're just like, they get that I'll sleep when I'm dead mentality. And I mean, if you get that mentality, your dead is coming a lot faster than you want it to.
Yeah. Or people say, well, if I slept every time I was tired, I would be sleeping all the time. That is a very clear sign that there is a problem.
Yes.
If that's the way that you're feeling, then you definitely need to find someone to help you out with that, because that's a horrible way to go through life.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I would cry if that's how I went through life. So, yeah, that's a big one. Trying to get adequate, but staying on the sleep topic, trying to get adequate levels of hours of sleep. We recommend somewhere between 8 and 10, but I also understand that some people function amazingly well on 6 or 7.
Right.
And that happens. Other people need 12 to 14 hours of sleep. If you're in that range, you've got an issue.
Right.
That's a little bit excessive.
But it's not uncommon. I mean,
unless you're a baby.
Right.
If you're a tiny, if you're a tiny little baby listening to this,
yeah, you have no idea what we're saying.
Right.
And
it's exactly right. So,
but make sure you get your 14 hours.
Yes.
Right.
Make sure you get your 14 hours. It'll
for
help
babies.
You grow up big and strong.
Yes. Right. But a lot of people need 8 to 10 and are not getting anywhere near 8 to 10. So,
right.
I mean, make sure. And we get this a lot where people say, well, I don't have time to get that amount of sleep. You can't afford not to get that amount of sleep, but that's what your body needs. You're not going to be functioning as well if you don't get adequate sleep. Plus, are you telling me that you're never on the internet? You're never looking at your phone? You're never watching TV? I mean, there are ways that you can cut out other things in
your
life.
I'm not watching SportsCenter until 2 in the morning.
I can't miss my favorite show.
Right.
Yes. I'm not emptying my DVR to save room for the next series that I'm going to record.
I have to know what's going on right now.
I'm not stuck in a Netflix binge. It happens. You're welcome, Netflix, for all you.
Yep.
You can send the check here. The Institute of Natural Health, 1034 South Brentwood Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri. So anyway, avoid staying up late. That's another big one. People, try to get on a schedule. Go to bed at the same time every night. Wake up at the same time every morning. Get yourself into a routine. Humans want routines. And think about this with little kids. For those of you out there with kids, did they operate better when they were allowed to sleep whenever they wanted and run wild whenever they wanted? Or did they operate better when they were on a regimen, when they fell asleep at a certain time, they got up at a certain time?
Yeah, your body gets used to it.
Your body gets used to it. Here's one. Laugh and do something fun every day.
Yeah. It actually matters.
I think we've laughed a million times here on the show.
Right.
It happens.
So far, this is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Perfect. Minimize work and relational stress however you can.
Nope, this is my favorite one.
Back to the laughter again. So this is a big one. A lot of times people don't even know how to minimize their work stress. They don't know how to minimize relationship stress. For those of you in relationships out there, one easy way to help minimize relationship stress is to learn how to communicate with each other. Sometimes that means going to counseling. That can be a huge step. If you take away the relationship home stress, my gosh, it can be massive amounts of stress right there, and you didn't even know it.
Right.
Because you're not able to communicate with your spouse or your significant other.
Or your children.
Or your children. I mean, there are counselors out there that are family counselors. They help parents talk to kids, and kids talk to parents, and parents talk to parents.
Well, and it's such a big deal because it's something that is continuous. If you have an issue with this, it's a stress constantly. And so that's why it's so important.
Yes. Eating on a regular cycle. Eat at the same times. Try to. It's hard sometimes. I get it for those of you out there on the go, but try to get yourself into the habit of eating at the same times.
Right. And on the food thing, also try to reduce caffeine and sugar. We talked about that.
Yes, we did. Exercise. Now, I say this, you all know it. Everyone knows we need to exercise more. Human beings' bodies are meant to move.
This is my least favorite one.
We've got to get out there and exercise. Whatever is what you enjoy. Pick that and do that. That's important.
Right. And it's great. I mean, a lot of times we say, okay, try to find someone that is a positive influence in your life and go for a walk with them. You know, schedule a walk. I mean, then it's, you know, two birds with one stone, right? I mean, you're getting a positive, you know, feedback in your life.
And one in the hand's worth two in the bush. I don't know. We're just throwing out sayings.
Right. No, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yoga, we've talked about before, yoga in particular is shown to decrease stress.
Yes, there's a lot of studies out there on that.
So yes, tons.
Go grab some yoga. Avoiding negative people and negative self-talk. We talked a little bit about negative self-talk previously, but avoiding negative people. I mean, you all know these people out there. Everyone has somebody like this in your life where everything is always the worst that could ever be to that person. Get those people out of your life.
Right,
they're
limit
not
your contact
you.
With them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't.
Because it may be your best friend.
Right. It may be your mother. Like
that is true. That is very true. Touche.
So it's actually not my mother. I just want to point that out. She's the most positive person. So I just realized that the way that that came across, not talking about my own mother.
I was going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Glad you cleared that up. Glad you cleared that up. So getting those types of getting negative people out of your life and having more positive self-talk is a big one. Taking time for yourself. Try to do something relaxing. Whatever is relaxing to you, if that's, you know, playing an instrument, if that's, you know, watching a movie, whatever it is, right. Reading a book.
It's not selfish. We're telling you to do this.
Do it.
Your adrenals will thank you.
They will thank you. And if you've had anything traumatic in your life happen, don't be afraid to go to counseling and work through that. I mean, we've all had things that we've had happen to us. Most everyone on the planet could benefit from counseling. I'll be the first to say that. Almost everyone could benefit, even if it's just to help us communicate better with the outside world and stop thinking that everyone's out to get us because they don't understand us.
Right. And to realize, you know, how things, you know, that have happened in your life are affecting you, because a lot of people think that, you know, well, I've got it all dealt with, and they don't always.
Right. Exactly. All right. So that's about all the time we've got for today.
Yeah. Can I just throw one in?
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself.
Yes, be
quickly.
Kind to yourself. Be nice to yourself. Tell yourself you're awesome.
Yeah.
You're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you.
It's really taxing your adrenals, and so it's counterproductive.
Yes. So, all right. So if you want more information, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Call us, 314-293-8123. Send us an email. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram. We're out there. We love to hear from you. So next time we're going to be talking a little bit more about adrenal fatigue. We're going to talk about testing and differentiate a few things out for you. So that's about all the time we've got for this week. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.